Steph, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about looking ahead in this new year and what that means for us, and to be able to see. And it all becomes a little bit clearer to us in a way, really, when the fog is here, right? Because we say, well, I can't see, it's not clear. But it becomes clear that we need to see what's in front of us, right? The things that are there that fog so easily hides from us, of the things that we need to see. And stuff to do, and we don't want to go into the new year with things not being seen clearly of what we want to do and where God was leading us, and understanding the things of life and direction and stuff. So we want to do that. Steph, I don't know. This week we're talking about spiritual rhythm and what that looks like. But last week we talked about listening to God, of what that. And how we need to take time to listen and hear what he's saying. And then we need to prioritize what matters, to say, okay, God, I heard you, and this is what I was thinking, but I need to say, what do I do? And I need to prioritize what God says instead of my own thinking. Then I need to pursue that what matters. I need to actually go after what God said to do. And to do that, I need to create space for that transformation in my own life, to be able to do those things. And that takes our effort to be able to do that, which gives us spiritual rhythm. We think about the thing of rhythm, and it's not about the dance moves that somebody might have, or that I can keep beat with the music or anything else. It's the rhythm of being in line with God. And to be able to take those things and be good with them. And stuff to do. There's even a rhythm in the things of life that we do. There's even a rhythm in the fun that we do. In fact, I have a question for you. Did you hear about the very large koala bear that applied for a job and he was denied and didn't get the job? And the reason was that he was over-qualified. Do we have rhythm or not? You know, and stuff that's there. Even fun, those things of rhythm can be there, you know, and stuff to do. But we want to look at more spiritual things of rhythm today, okay? So I invite you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 9 and see what happens in the Old Testament with Joshua about a spiritual rhythm that God is encouraging him to be in, and the people of Israel, the Jewish people, as they are now entering into the promised land that they had been taken out of slavery in Egypt. They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because they didn't listen to God when he first asked them to do. They didn't prioritize what he said. They didn't pursue what he said because they weren't making space for the transformation and stuff. All those things that happened, it took 40 years to overcome. Now they're getting ready to make that change and move into the promised land. So Joshua chapter 1, beginning verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun. Now, did you know that Joshua did not have a father? It says he's the son of Nun, right? No, I lost my humor rhythm, right? Yeah, and stuff that's there. Nun was the name of the man that was his father. Moses' assistant. He said, now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land that I have given you. From the Negev Desert to the south, in the south, to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River on the east to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, and all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous, for obey the law, all the laws that Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you might be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then you will succeed. I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times in this passage, God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, to do the things that he's asking him to do, to follow these things. There's a consistency here that God is telling Joshua to follow. He says, just as I led my servant Moses, I expect you to be consistent in that. Consistency creates rhythm. And rhythm creates growth. To do those things in a consistent manner, whether it's the new habits that we have that take place at the beginning of the year, the things that we say, oh, this is a resolution I make. The problem a lot of with the resolutions that people make is they make great big goals. That I'm going to write a book this year. Huge goal, great goal, except that it can be seen so overwhelming to even get difficult sometimes. So, but if we make smaller steps in there to say, I'm going to write the first sentence, then I'm going to write a paragraph, then I'm going to write a page, and tomorrow I'm going to write another page. The next day after that, I'm going to write another page. Instead of, I've got to write a whole book, 365 pages can seem overwhelming. But consistently having a rhythm of, I'm just going to do this little amount today, over time, it creates growth because we have a rhythm to that. It's what God talks about, or Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 10:21, he says, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and the table of demons too. I can't be one way here and then another way over here. I can't dabble in this that's not good and then go over here and play in this that is good. I have to be consistent in what I'm doing. Am I following all the way? Am I being consistent in what I believe that and what I do? Are they matching? Do I say, praise the Lord on Sunday, and on the rest of the 6 days of the week, I'm out doing other things that aren't good? Am I saying, I want to study the Word of God, but the only time I pick up my Bible is on Sunday? Is consistency to be a part of what we do to create that rhythm? God taught Joshua and the nation of Israel the importance of courageous and consistent faith. It was a rhythm that he was getting them into to be consistent. That's one of the reasons God said, 6 days you'll work, one day you'll rest and honor me. That there's rhythm. Not just when I feel like it, when I remember to do these things, when it feels and stuff, and then all my work is done, because I don't know if you found it out or not yet, but your work is never done. It will never be done until you die. And at that point, it's too late to create the spiritual rhythm that we need in our lives to be close to God. There in Joshua 1:7, where we read earlier, that be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. That's consistency. Don't deviate from them. Don't go to the right or to the left. To be able to be consistent, God is teaching the people this, to be able to follow those things of being consistent. As we begin this week 2 of the New Year Challenge, we're going to be focusing on rhythm, what that means, the rhythm of renewing our minds, of trusting in what God is doing, to focus on Him, to be able to spend that time, to have that rhythm of, I'm spending time with God. What's your rhythm for spending time with God? Is it every morning the first time you get out of bed? Is it after you, before you go to bed at night? Is it while you eat your lunch? What is your rhythm of being with God? Because without a rhythm, we're probably going to say, oh, I'm too busy right now. I'll get to it later. I'll do that. Everything's done for the day. Done for the day, right? For the year and stuff. How do we create the spiritual rhythm? First thing we need to do is to be like what Paul said, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. That is, which is good and acceptable, perfect. By the renewing of our minds. To take time to be renewed. It's what we talk about for this new year is the new year challenge. The song we sang, new I'm made. Past is the past. What I've done, my habits, all the things that have been a part of my life before, I can leave those behind to be able to focus on the new things that I want to be in relationship with God. To be able to develop a healthy spiritual rhythm. A healthy spiritual rhythm. That is good for you. And what does that look like? We talked about it in Bible study this morning about what does something look like. And I challenged them to each one draw a WYSIWYG. Can you do that? Because you have... How do I know what a healthy spiritual rhythm is? If I challenge you to do that, you go, well, what does that mean? Well, it starts with truth. To have a healthy spiritual rhythm, we've got to be based in truth. Scripture invites us to continually reset our thinking so that we can better follow God's leading with truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, no longer live as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Ever feel that way? Man, I sometimes feel confused, hopelessly confused about things. And I know from watching the rest of the world, there's a lot of people out there that are confused and stuff to do. He says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives them because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Does that sound like your rhythm? No. We don't want to follow those things. He says, live that way. You used to be that way. We need to change. We need to renew. We need to do something different. And that's where he says, but that isn't what you learned. Since you have learned the truth that comes from Him. The truth we have needs to be the right truth. Not like the world is today. Well, I have a truth. You have a truth. Doesn't matter if they don't match up. That's not what truth is. Truth, there's from God. And he says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, where our truth comes from is important. It has to come from God, from Jesus. So what do we do when we've heard that? He says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, continually corrupted by lust and deception. That's what the former things do. We need to throw that off. We need to get rid of that. Say, that's not the way I've changed. I've made that decision. I'm following Christ now. I can't continue doing this thing over here that's following the things of the world, and now I'm going to come over here and follow God. He says, get rid of that. I can't be double-minded is one of the way the scripture said it. He goes on and says, instead, new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We need to take that truth, put on our thoughts and our attitudes, because we're created to be like God. The more that you dwell on truth, the more your life finds its rhythm in Him. Just like God encouraged Joshua, Scripture encourages us to create a healthy spiritual rhythm by entering God's presence, is the next thing. He is with you wherever you go, to realize that God is there, no matter what. He told Joshua, he said, I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail or abandon you. We have God's promise that He is with us wherever we go. He outlined that specific spots in Israel where the land that He gave the Israelites, this is your spot. But for us in the spiritual realm, He's with us in our hearts everywhere we go. He will not fail us or abandon us. So many times we feel like we're abandoned. We go, oh, God, I feel so alone. God, I don't know why this is happening. God, how come I don't feel your presence like I did before? Even Jesus felt that as he was on the cross. Remember, as he was coming to the end of his physical life, says that Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Even if we feel abandoned, we are not. Why? Because God promises that He will never fail us or abandon us. If that promise is true and God's promises never fail, they are never wrong, He never goes back on them, then what I'm feeling must be wrong. When I feel abandoned, I'm wrong. The feeling may be there, but I now have to take control and say, God, I feel this way, but I know it's not true because you have promised me your presence. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, no matter how I feel, you are with me. You will not fail me. You will not abandon me. I'm the one that's wrong if I feel that way, not God. He has not failed me. I need to trust in what His word says when He says, He is with me everywhere I go. I need to remember to enter into His presence instead of staying within my own presence, saying, oh, this is the world, it must be me. No, it's not. Because what does God tell us in Jeremiah? He says, can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth? Says the Lord. You cannot hide from God. You cannot go anywhere that He cannot find you. He cannot see you. He cannot be with you. You cannot leave His presence. So if you feel abandoned once again, it is not accurate. It may be your feelings are lying to you about it. It's what we call in theological words being omnipresent. That God is present in all places at all times. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that that applies to. There is nothing else that is omnipresent in the spiritual realm. We also talk about the omniscience-ness of God, having infinite awareness or understanding or knowledge and insight in those. And God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is also omnipotent, which means He has unlimited authority and power and influence. Those are great concepts for us to know and remember that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. I can't get away from him. He's with me all the time, just as his word promises. Because we know that God is omnipresent, we know he will never abandon. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 tells us this way, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? If you've got that thinking in your mind of, well, God's abandoned me, take that scripture, write it out, post it on the mirror and on the door of your refrigerator. Say, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? It is the promise of God. I trust in his promises far more than I trust in my feelings. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. That's the Holy Spirit. He all goes on and says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Once again, we're back at truth, where the spiritual rhythm starts. It begins with truth. And his presence is what's next. He never leaves us. He says, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, we can identify with what an orphan goes through, right? It means they've got no parents, they're abandoned, they're left, whether the parents died or whether parents just didn't want them anymore. They're abandoned. He says, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. It's the same thing that God told Moses in Deuteronomy 31, 6. Before Joshua took over, he promised Moses, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. The promise that God made to Moses was just re-promised by Jesus in the New Testament. It applies to us. Isaiah said it this way in 54:10. For the mountains may move and the hills may disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you. That's talking about those things that are circumstances of life. The mountains may move and the hills may disappear, but my faithful love for you will remain. The faithfulness of God, the fog. I want to be surrounded by fog. Not that out there. But the faithfulness of God that never abandons me, never leaves me. He remains. He loves me and he loves me. Psalmist said in Psalms 139, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I can trust in his truth. And I can believe in his presence no matter what to have a healthy spiritual rhythm. The next thing we need to do to have a healthy spiritual rhythm is to reflect on his word. In other words, let scripture shape your mindset, your thinking. What are you shaping your mindset? Is it the world? Is it the TV programs that you watch? Is it the news that you listen to? Is it the friends that you speak with? What is shaping your mindset? It needs to be God's word. Proverbs tells us at one point, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. It's talking about those things that we think about, the things that we dwell on, that's what we become, that we move toward that. We've got a little plaque in our kitchen at home that Cheryl had that says, if you think you can't, you can't. If you think you can, you can't. It's not scriptural, but it's based on truth and stuff to do. How I think. It's not just a positive thinking scheme that we're talking about. It's about basing our thoughts on God's word, that is truth, and his word. Psalmist once again said it. He says, I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Am I meditating? Am I thinking? Am I musing is thinking? And stuff to dwell on what God is doing, what he has done, as well as his presence. How am I spending my thinking time? So many times our thinking can take us in really bad places. We spiral down because of what I'm thinking. Oh, wow. And that's really bad. It must be going to get even worse. I don't know how I'm going to survive this. And all of a sudden, I'm not worth anything because my stinking thinking has got me into that point. That's that reality that we can have that thinking that is just really stinking about, and it takes us places where we shouldn't be going because of how we're dwelling on the wrong thing. Another place in Psalms, he says, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. As we were singing earlier this morning, what were you thinking about? Hopefully it was what God was doing, his blessings as we sang those words and stuff, and thinking about those things instead of, oh, wow, I've got to be doing this week, and I've got this happening, and I don't know how I'm going to do that, and I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill, and I don't know where this is going to come from, and man, the fog's going to get worse out there, and all the things that can so easily draw us away from the presence of God and thinking about him and the things of reflecting on his word. Our healthy spiritual rhythm is all of a sudden out of sync and stuff to do. One of my granddaughters is in dance. She likes to do dance a lot, and they choreograph these dances that they do, and everybody moves in rhythm and stuff, and all of a sudden you can see one that's out of rhythm. Everybody else is this way, and this one's this way, and whoops, something missed. They got out of rhythm, out of sync and stuff. Are we out of sync with God when I'm thinking, God's abandoned me? Nope, I'm out of sync because he said he never would. And stuff. I need to be in rhythm and in sync with what God is doing. And how do we do that? Psalms tells us, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Do we delight in him, in his word? Are we reflecting on those things? Are we taking time to let that be our mindset instead of the world? Paul tells us this in Romans. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And how many people do you know, they're saying, man, I just wish I could have some peace in my life. But they don't know Christ. Or maybe they say they do. But they're not letting the Spirit control. Because when we do that, it says, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. That's the pathway that we need to use to get to those things, to have life and peace, because we're trusting and thinking about and letting God control us. Paul gives us a great reminder in Philippians 4:8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. It's where we began. Having a spiritual, healthy spiritual rhythm begins with truth. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We need to think about those things that are positive in our lives instead of dwelling on the negative things. You can use this as a prescription, okay? You write this down on your Bible in the front. Write it on your hand if you need to. Make a mental note of it. Put it in your phone. It's on the wall and stuff to do. When you feel those things of, well, God's not with me, things are really bad, I don't know how I'm going to do this, take the prescription, read it. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, and think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then the God of all peace will be with you. That's what it goes on and says. And it goes back to what we read earlier in Romans 12, 2, with what Paul said, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The way we think is huge in our lives. Will I let God change it into what He wants so I can have a healthy spiritual rhythm because I began with truth, because I believe in His presence, and because I'm reflecting on His word? Goes back to, am I just letting that stinking thinking come in, or am I letting God control what I think? Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 1:14. He says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living. To satisfy your own desires, you didn't know any better then. The inference is, I know better now. How many times have we said that to our kids? You know better than that. You know, we expect them to do something different. Man, don't act that way. You know better than that. Don't do that. You know better than that. God tells us the same thing. Come on. You know better than that. I didn't teach you that. God wants you to be better because you're doing what He asks us to do. How do we do that next? We have a healthy spiritual rhythm because we remember His promises. Because they bring clarity and courage to our lives. Just as He told Joshua, be strong and courageous. This is where I'm sending you. They bring clarity and courage to us when we remember His promises. Psalms 119, 11 and through 16 says, I have hidden your word in my heart. I'm reflecting on His word. That's where I'm hiding it. I'm keeping it there. Why? That I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I've recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I've rejoiced in your laws as much as I am in riches. I study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. I remember those things. That's why doing these things to remember His promises is so important. To remember these things. Psalms 77, 11, and 12 say, but then I recall all you have done. O Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. What do we remember? If I don't know about it, I can't remember it. Therefore, we want to focus on what God is doing, remembering first what He's done in the Bible, and then realizing He's doing that in my life too, so that I have something. Well, I remember God did do that. I remember how He was there present at this time. I remember how He took care of that need when I expressed it. I remember how He provided healing in this instance. I remember how He worked in some. and stuff to do because I remember those things because I'm focused on them. And so easily just letting them go. As you drove here today, you passed many of the same landmarks that you do probably every week that you come to this location. But do you remember which house had the porch light on? Do you remember which car you met and what color it was at a certain intersection? Not because you weren't paying attention to it. I don't remember either. Because I wasn't paying attention. It says, I've got to pay attention. I will dwell on them. I can't stop thinking about them because I'm focused on what God is doing in his words so that I can remember. When Jesus had been crucified and placed in the tomb, and on Sunday morning, the women went to anoint his body, and they found the tomb open and nobody there. In Luke, it says, the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Remember what he said when he told you back in Galilee that the man, Son of Man, must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. We need to remember what God says. Because we can be just like the women and go, oh man, the circumstances of my life have made me forget what's important. They feel so overwhelming. They were feeling abandoned and overwhelmed. But it was not true. Because God had said, this will happen. They needed to remember his promises, remember what he said. Jesus was talking to them, to the disciples, when they were feeling and not understanding and not going, well, what are we going to do? And things like this that they were feeling in their lives. And he says, have you eyes? Can't you see? You have ears. Can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed 5,000 with loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up? 12, they said. They were worried to remember what God does. What are some of God's promises to us that we can remember and take away from today? Forgiveness. We are promised forgiveness. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's God's promise. When I feel like, oh, I can never be forgiven from that. No, God's word said, if I confess to him, he is faithful to forgive our sins. He will do that. Not if I feel like he will, but his word promises that he forgives us. We have a promise of provision. Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God who takes care of me, Paul saying this, will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. It's not my riches. It's the glorious riches that are in Christ Jesus that have been given to us. He takes care of our needs for us. Not necessarily my wants, but my needs. That we have a purpose. When I feel like, well, what's my purpose? I don't know. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's his purpose that I'm called to. It's not just mine. God, what do you want me to be? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to go in the state that I'm in? Doesn't matter that I'm not 25 anymore. Doesn't matter that I'm not the tallest one or the shortest one or the handsomest one or anything else. It doesn't matter what I think. It's I'm trusting in God and I'm called according to his purpose, not just what I think. Another promise that we have from him is abundant life. He promises abundant life. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have a life and have it abundantly. God promises abundant life. When we're in that mode of saying, well, I don't know, life's pretty bad, and I don't this all things, we get in that Eeyore mode, woe is me, you know, and stuff. God promises is abundant. That's his purpose. That's why he came, so that he could give us life and have it abundantly. He also promises us rest. And Jesus said, come to me, all of you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. How many of you feel like, yeah, I could use some more rest? You know, God promises that. And stuff to do. If we will give him our burdens. Quit carrying around those things of woe is me. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish this. I don't know how I'm going to pay that. I don't know how I'm going to get that done. I don't know when this will happen. I don't know how we'll see it through the situation. Those are the burdens that he's asking us to give. Give those to him. He'll carry them and give us rest. But so often we don't want to give those things up. Well, here it is, God, but I want to hold on to it. I want to carry it away with me because it gives me power and people feel sorry for me when I have this and stuff to do and things. Give it to God. Let him carry that. Another promise he gives us is peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. His promise is peace. Don't worry about that. Take his promise. And he gives us comfort. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others if they are troubled. We will be able to comfort God has given us. You know, this comfort, we typically think of it like being an easy chair, one of those big easy boys, you know, and think, and now I'm comfortable. I don't have any problems. It says that he comforts us in all of our troubles. We're going to have troubles. But God gives comfort through it. Why? So that we can comfort others when they are troubled with the same comfort God has given us. There's a purpose in the things that go on in our lives. Will we take those and accept what God is doing to remember his promises? So how do you have a healthy spiritual rhythm? It begins with truth. We need to enter his presence. We need to reflect on his word. And we need to remember his promises. This begins that healthy spiritual rhythm for this year. What are you going to do with your rhythm, with your life for this year? How are you going to enter in to what's going on, what God's calling you to? You can enter in through and come out at the end of the year, chaos. And I got nothing done. I don't feel like I accomplished anything. I don't feel that God was with me. I don't feel this was a good thing. Or we can step into his presence, into his rhythm, into his truth, because we're reflecting on his word and we're remembering his promises, so that you will have a healthy spiritual rhythm this year as you begin anew. Would you stand with me as we have a word of prayer this morning? Father, we thank you for what you do in our lives, for your truth that guides us, for your presence that never leaves us, for your word that shows us who you are, and for your promises that never fail. Help us to trust in you more, to step into what you called Joshua and the Israelite people to be, into a healthy spiritual rhythm of trusting in you, to be consistent, to be courageous, to not let the fears of what may happen, of what, where is this going to go, how is this going to be accomplished, to dissuade us from trusting you. Father, give us your wisdom as we trust in you with these things of life and with these next weeks and these next years. Next year, Father, we trust in you. Help us in having a healthy spiritual rhythm together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing.